Hi, everyone. It's Roberta.
And this is Ryan, and this is the Midweek News
on Art Blog Radio. Libby and I went out to Swarthmore College on Sunday, and we saw the last day of the show, the solo show by Mami Kato, Japanese-born, Philadelphia-based artist who works with fibers and is sort of, her mission is to understand things in nature, scientific things. And so she uses art making as a way to think things through scientifically. So the work is quite, biomorphic and uses fibers like jute fibers that she buys in bulk. You can buy that in Japan and it's sent over.
Interesting.
I believe she said, you tear it apart. It's like fuzzy. It's very fuzzy and white. And she made this magical installation that's evocative of a bird's nest or some sort of a nest and snaky, and it goes up a wall and it's
interesting.
Snaked around the floor. It took up a whole space, a whole gallery space. It was really quite nice. And then she uses something called rice stalks, which you also can buy in Japan, and she goes over and gets them or brings them back or has them shipped. And then she works with them, gathering them into bundles and gathering the bundles into, again, snaky biomorphic forms that interlock and interweave with each other and relate to, sort of internal biological processes, the atom and the, the cells dividing and things of that nature. Quite amazing. Very precise, beautifully made, absolutely exquisite craftsmanship. Don't know how in the world she does it or how long it takes her to do these very large pieces, sculptural pieces. There was one that was so large, Andrea Packard, our friend, the gallery director out there, said it came to the studio at Swarthmore in a crate that was too large to get into the gallery. They had to take it out of the crate on the landing, the truck landing where you put packages on, you put the big crates on. They couldn't get it into the building. So they had to uncrate it right there on the landing, the loading dock, I guess it's called, and bring it in that way. It wasn't made modularly, this big piece out of jute. It was made with an armature, one piece. And the artist was there, very lovely person. And she shows at Wexler Gallery. And I believe I was told that she has a show upcoming at Wexler Gallery. So that's something to look forward to. And she has showed there before. Saturday, I took a day trip and went up to New York. And I wanted to go to the Met to see the Caspar David Friedrich show, The Soul of Nature. He's the soul man of the romantic, German romantic sort of longing for peace and quietude and nature to be your portal to that magical state. I did get to see that. However, it was a Saturday. The show just opened recently. It was packed. So I must go back because it was really difficult to see the work. And it's a very large, ambitious show and very prescient in the wall captions. At one point, there was one sub-gallery in the larger exhibit that talked about why was this happening at this time in Germany, all this romantic expressionism of figurative, not abstract at all. It was 1820, 1815 is this guy's beginning dates. Apparently, Germany wasn't even a country back then. It was multiple little principalities that were fighting with each other all the time. And so it was very higgledy-piggledy, up and down, and explosive and full of tension. And sounds familiar, right? Like, aren't we sort of there at the moment? And so that, my sister said, when we were looking at this show, she said, hey, look at this. I think this explains why this show is here at this particular moment. And I think she may be right. You know, nature is solace for the soul. And so we all need a big dose of nature. And these paintings are beautiful. A little bit religious. He would put a cross in the middle of a landscape with, you know, the emanating lights coming off of it and whatnot. But the wall plaque said, well, a lot of this stuff he made to sell. He had patrons who were very religious. And so, okay, we'll cut him some slack in that. He put the crosses in the natural setting, but it was good. So I hope to go back and see that. That's up until May 11th. So there is time. Don't go on a Saturday if you're going to go, choose some other day. But before there, and this was my real treat, unexpected, you know, when you have no expectations, I went to the New York Public Library because I got into town early, like 9 o'clock in the morning, and I wasn't meeting my sister until later. And I said, well, what's open at, you know, 9, 10 o'clock? So the public library is open at 10 in the morning, the main branch with the big lions out in front. I went in. It was it's a beautiful architecture. You just swoon over the gorgeous, whenever it was built, architecture. I don't know. I didn't study that part. But there was an exhibit there I wanted to see that was in their gallery. They have a gallery called Treasures, in which, among other things, they have a Gutenberg Bible, the Bill of Rights, all kinds of manuscripts, like handwritten, hand-typed manuscripts by James Baldwin, Tom Wolfe, Bonfire of the Vanities, original manuscript. I mean, they house archives by these writers. Shakespeare's first folio, Virginia Woolf's walking stick. I don't know how they got that. I suppose a lot of these are donated. I can't imagine they have people out there trolling for things, but who knows?
A walking stick is a funny thing to have in their collection.
Yeah. And it's not mentioned. I have a little thing here. They have a portfolio of what they have in their treasures collection. It's a very nice, large space that they have for this. And interestingly enough, I saw people going in and out of another door that was coming out of this space when I was there. And they were going into the gift shop. Look at the space of the gift shop and the space of the treasures exhibition. They are the same space. That's a generous amount of space for the gift shop. But I tell you, I went in, I bought, I conquered at least part of the gift shop because it was great. It had everything from little tchotchkes that cost $2. Like they had pencils, right? Every museum has pencils with their name on it. Very nice, beautiful pencils. And then next to it, they had a little rubber hand, tiny little rubber hand, one in black, one in white, that would slip onto the eraser head so that if you were a child of about 7 years old and brought this pencil to school and were writing with it, that little hand would, you know, wiggle in the air as you were writing. I thought that was hilarious, so I bought one for my grandson. So lots of beautiful scarves, beautiful books. I bought a book called The Grilled Cheese Cookbook. I thought that was pretty hilarious. It's an actual recipe book for grilled cheese sandwiches. Mm. So I highly recommend a trip to the free and open New York Public Library on 42nd Street. It's a blast. You're going to like it. You're going to love the Treasurer's exhibition. Oh, there was an Albrecht Dürer, like 25 or 28 piece wood cut print that had been made by Albrecht Dürer back in the day. By Albrecht and his studio. You could see where they lined up. You know, it was made in portions that were maybe 24 by 18 or something. So a massive amount of work to put this, and it took up a whole wall. It was in a glass case. Magnificent. It looks like a church. It was a church of some sort, and it was made on commission. It was a beautiful, beautiful piece. So I felt really delighted to stumble into the treasures and be delighted by the treasures. It was really great. Anyway, that was my weekend. How was your weekend, Ryan?
My weekend was fine. Yeah, a lot of the same, a lot of getting out. Nothing particularly spectacular. It was a lot of kid time. So Reese's birthdays is Tuesday the 25th. So
happy birthday, Reese.
Recording today. And so happy birthday, Reese. He turns 11 today. So it was all birthday party and getting together and kids hanging out till the wee hours. So,
Wonderful.
Yeah, they had a great time.
Very good. I'm glad to hear it. And did you take them bowling or something like that? Or was it a house party?
This weekend is a house party. And then next weekend, there was a few people that were out of town and a couple kids that were sick. So we are also going to do another thing next weekend.
So party continues.
Party continues. It's always a good time to get out and get connected. You know, it looks a little bit warmer, so people maybe will be happy about all that.
Shall we segue into the news?
Yeah, let's move our way into the news.
All right, so I have three things. All right, the first I'm excited about is we got a note from Lee Sumpter, artist, mm-hmm. Afrofuturist. She is dropping a new artist mixtape, Volume 5, Homeworld/Otherworlds, at Ulysses Books. This Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. So this is a 6-episode pilot podcast with a full-color zine companion. And some of the people that she has interviewed on the podcast series are Andrea Philly Walls, Malkia Okich, Rashid Zakat, Tiché, and Papsale Fall. We know Pap. And Shanti mm-hmm. Myers. So that sounds really great. And who doesn't want a full color zine to go along with their podcast? So
yeah,
that's this weekend, 6 to 8 p.m. at Ulysses. I hope to get over there. Who knows? But I hope. I always have hopes.
Nice.
Then this is for the kind of coming far distant future. PNC Arts Alive has now decided, at least for this year, not clear how many years, that SIVA, they are going to help sponsor SIVA's Open Studios in the fall. That's always in October. Open Studio Tours, POST, Philadelphia Open Studio Tours, are usually in October on two different weekends in October. Previous years, SIVA has asked for a registration fee from artists to participate in POST. This year, PNC Arts Alive has generously agreed to underwrite the cost of registration. They usually have 250 artists participating in this, and they're hoping they have a whole lot more this year. So that's very good news for all the artists that have wanted to participate in this but haven't been able to for financial reasons. So bravo. I'm really glad to hear that. On the sad news, we have another death. There has, you know, winters are hard for people of a certain age. Richard Flood died. Many will remember him as the former curator at the New Museum. He was age 81. And our friend Sid Sachs, formerly of University of the Arts, wonderful curator, kind of art, the Philadelphia area contemporary art historian. I would really grant him that title and give him a position if I was Sherelle Parker. I really would. Sid said, and I'm quoting from Sid when he wrote to me, "Richard was from Philadelphia." I did not know that. "And published the Arts Exchange." I don't know exactly what that is. "Before moving to New York, he curated a show at Moore College when Elsa Longhauser first went to Moore back in the day. And they apparently, Richard and Elsa, had worked together in New York at Protech/McNeil Gallery, which was Hank McNeil, a Philadelphian, who I thought he had a gallery in Philadelphia, but apparently he was working with Protech in New York also. Richard Flood also worked for Barbara Gladstone, who happened to go to Rosemont College. Now, that's a lot of Philadelphia art history in that little paragraph. Thank you, Sid Sachs, for letting us know. And that's it for me. I told you about the shows I saw over the weekend. So I'm done. Over to you, Ryan.
Wow. Okay.
We are coming to the end of February.
And we're going to be moving into March, and that means spring. So hopefully spring does happen. So I'm really hopeful there's not switches or changes. I'm just saying, speak to the universe, hope for the best. But still, there are a lot of great openings. There's a lot of events that are closing. Things are about to switch up. The 7th of March is First Friday. So that's a week and a half away. But there are some really interesting shows that are opening on that first Friday. And I thought I would start by thinking about that week ahead rather than the week upcoming. Since our podcast released Wednesday, I would think the week ahead. But one show that I did want to shout out is opening on the 27th, and it runs through March 30th. It's called Gizmos and Gadgets at Rosemont College, as you mentioned as well. It looks really fun. I was just thinking about my son, Reese, would totally be into that. He got a 3D printer for his birthday.
Oh.
And is just printing up a storm. It's a lot of fun. And they're really interesting, cool things that he's making.
Huh.
So I think this is something that he might be interested in. Rosemont College is 1400 Montgomery Avenue in Rosemont, PA. They're having a reception Saturday, March 1st from 3 to 6 p.m. This is, again, it's called Gizmos and Gadgets. And it's Kathleen Studebaker. So if that is it, if you're interested, take a look at that. And all of these are in Artblog Connect as well. So you'll see them as well. I don't normally shout out artist talks, but the Print Center has had a consistent, really interesting artist come in and do a talk. So I just wanted to shout them out. On March 6th, the Print Center is hosting Juana Estrada Hernandez. She has a current exhibit that's running through April 5th. So this is a specific conversation that they're having. And some of these are available online as well, so via Zoom. So take a look at that. And that is free. All of the programs are free. You just need to register for those. It's March 6th at 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. I was also really interested in Museum for Art and Wood's First Friday opening. They are doing an opening for Katie Hudnall, The Longest Distance Between Two Points. Some of the press pictures look really interesting. Kind of excited to see that one. They do some really interesting things over there at Museum for Art in Wood. They have an interesting space that I think lends itself to interesting results. And I guess that's my three, but there are a couple other things that I wanted to shout out real quick, just that so you know they're coming. I'm trying not to see a lot of Shakespeare this year. I don't know if that's necessarily a thing, but Lantern Theater is doing Much Ado About Nothing. That's ongoing right now through the middle of March. Arden Theater is doing August Wilson's King Hedley II. And I noticed that there was a few other places around the country that are doing that. I don't know if it's an anniversary or something, but it might be related. A friend of Artblog, Gracie Carson, is doing a marketing and advertising informational talk at Temple coming up on March 3rd. So if you're interested in theater and advertising and want to get into that or need help with that, titled The Art of Advertising for Theater Audiences. So she works in marketing and helps a lot of theaters with PR, marketing, social media, and it is really helpful. It's specifically marketed or pointed to marketing professionals, board members, and leadership teams for small and mid-sized theaters. But if marketing is something that you need help with, this might be a great way to go as well. So shout out to that. That is Monday, March 3rd from 6:30 to 8:30 at Randall Theater, which is 2020 North 13th Street. So that's my three plus three, six. It still counts. I'm still going to count it as three. Three plus three.
Good. Well, I love the fact that this last person you mentioned, and I'm taking notes here. What's her first name?
Gracie.
Oh, Gracie.
It's G-R-A-Y-C-E.
Okay, Gracie. Got it. Carson. And she's doing this out of the goodness of her heart.
Yeah. So she does a lot of theater work. I interviewed her recently and she is part of Paper Doll Ensemble. Oh. And so they recently did some readings and they have a show coming up for Fringe. This is someone that I think has been long connected to the theater environment in Philadelphia and likes it, loves it, wants to keep it going and amplifies it and is willing to share her time and expertise. So it's pretty special.
Very nice. Very nice. Yes, it is special. I agree. We should probably wrap it up. I want to remind everybody about the economic boycott on Friday, February 28th, to sort of push back and resist. There are other boycotts, and I don't have them in front of me right now, but we can round them up and put them in the transcript as well. Good to be reminded that there is something you can do if you're feeling powerless and alone at this time, because together we are powerful, and something like an economic boycott can really work. Cesar Chavez and the Great Boycott back in the 60s was the beginning of the union movement among migrant workers in California, and it's brought whoever it brought to their knees, and it was better for the migrant laborers. Yeah. So an economic boycott is a really positive way to go about resisting. Recommended, highly recommended. This is Roberta saying, thanks for listening. Come on back next time. Bye.
And this is Ryan, and this has been ArtBlog's Midweek News. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.